This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Up next, a little selection of the many headlines surrounding the Johor State election.
A fine selection, some might say, but really these are sort of all interesting mini stories that have popped up in relation to this, right? So the first is a continuation of an ongoing narrative at this point, Muda and PKR. So basically a couple of days ago, Muda announced that it will field the party's state information chief, Rasid Abubakar, in Larkin. That puts it on a collision course with PKR. And the expectation here is that this might have long-term repercussions for any cooperation beyond the March 12th election. And so it being a new party, I think that there are conversations going on about what it means to, well, actively go head-to-head, right, with a more established party, with bigger resources, with more groundswell, with a bigger groundswell of support like PKR. And also, if you extend that beyond Johor, what will that look like?
So that's one. The other thing that's getting quite a bit of attention, and in many ways for good reason, is that we're actually seeing a pretty large number of female candidates contesting in this election. So 37 to be specific. And that's actually twice the figure in 2013, where only 16 female candidates were fielded. So according to All Women's Action Society's Information and Communications Officer, Janelle Tan. She spoke to the Malaysian Insight, and she said that the proportion of female candidates in the Johor election has increased from about 7% to about 15%, and that this is really a good step towards gender parity in political representation. So we thought we'd unpack that and see what this means, because on the one hand, great move, right? But on the other hand, more female candidates may not necessarily mean more focus on gender issues. So that's an interesting thing that usually tends to come up.
That, and it may not even mean more female duns, you know, because these are candidates who are being fielded. It's not necessarily the case, right, that we're going to see them take their seats. So, and also, like you said, not as if everything, or not as if every platform is dependent on gender as well, right? Lastly, a bit of a light one, but significant for the state. Politicians are showing their solidarity with JDT specifically to kind of curry favour, I suppose, with the Johor electorate. So in the recent showdown between Johor Darul Ta'zim against Kuala Lumpur City FC in the Malaysia Charity Cup, a lot of politicians basically wore their JDT jerseys. This is a time-worn method to you know, be part of the common man, I suppose. We've seen several candidates who were present at the stadium. Others also visited watch parties or organized their own. So just this alignment or this combining of politics and sport, which, I mean, it's kind of a, if nothing else, it's quite amusing to see everybody in the jersey. Not everyone looks equally comfortable, I'll just say that. But the other thing is, like we said, right, when it comes to politicians and sport and trying to say, look, I get you, I also cheer for the team, this is time-worn.
Yeah, when in doubt, go with football. Mm. So let us know, are you following the Johor State elections? What are some of the interesting news stories that you've that caught your eye, really? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to discuss these and, in a sense, try and understand what they say about the landscape in Johor is Adib Zalkapli, who is Director of Bauer Group Asia. Adib, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me.
So there are a number of headlines that have popped up from Johor over the weekend. Were any of them particularly interesting to you?
Well, I think this, I mean, there are many firsts in this state elections, but I guess if I can pick one, I think the most interesting aspect of this election is that it's the high level of interest among political parties. We have I think an unprecedented number of candidates, more than 230-something of candidates vying for 56 seats, you know. And I think in most seats, we're looking at four-cornered contest. Of course, between, I think the focus is on the three most strongest coalitions, but still the higher interest among political parties and politicians is something that's very interesting.
So I thought we could hone in a little bit on Muda and PKR. This conflict or this back and forth is one that has been percolating for a while. How do you see this playing out in Larkin?
Firstly, it's definitely not a good start for the opposition. If their intention is to demonstrate opposition unity to the supporters, then perhaps they've failed in that sense. But Muda, being new party, I guess trying together build a negotiation power in the future, I guess, to demand for more seats, demand a place in the opposition coalition. But so I think it's partly a natural process for a new political party to register its presence.
So, as you said, they are a new party, and many people are arguing that this will have larger repercussions on how they are perceived statewide and federally. What do you think?
Well, I think politics is it's a long-term game, and I think such a minor setback won't be remembered by voters by the time the federal parliament is dissolved. So it's a short-term setback, I would say. You know, it won't. Unless, of course, Muda or people in PKR choose to fight against each other and refuse to negotiate, refuse to work together, and I think they will get over these differences.
You started off by talking about the unprecedented level of political interest, right, that we're seeing. And one aspect that has been getting a lot of attention is the high number of female candidates, specifically 37. Is this significant?
Yes, I think once when we have more candidates, you know, more interest in elections, naturally there will be the pool of candidates will be more diverse. In this case, we are seeing a lot more women candidates. Well, however you look at it, it's still a positive development. You know, representation matters, but at the end of the day, the objective of having more female candidates is to see more female-centric policies. But so, whether we're going to see that or not, I think it's still early days.
Is this something that might appeal to voters or to specific segments of the electorate?
I think the way political divisions are drawn in this country, I think gender may not play a big role. I think people tend to vote based on their political affiliation first, rather than gender. So, I think what would change the way people vote is, I guess, to have a woman at a leadership position. As we saw in 2018, you know, PKR was headed by a woman, and we had a woman deputy prime minister. That, I think, swayed voters who are, you know, in favor of having more women representation. But in this case, we're not actually seeing like women in senior leadership positions in the major coalitions.
So we're about to talk about football, which is one way of going about things. I'd also like to know, I mean, what have you observed in terms of the kinds of rhetoric that we're hearing from politicians in what they're trying to get across in appealing to voters?
Well, I mean, politics, campaigning, you know, is about simplifying complicated issues to laymen, you know, for voters to understand, I think. So of course, they would use any means, you know, including football or street food, you know, or anything exactly that, or anything that is trending or that people can relate to.
Do you see this being effective, though?
Well, it depends. You know, it depends on the constituencies, and also depends on the issues and also for voters who are, you know, who do not necessarily interact with the politicians, with their representatives. You know, these small things could influence their decisions.
Is there anything we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, I guess the major determinant of this election would be the turnout. As we discussed earlier, it's multi-cornered fights, and the winner of this election may not necessarily need the majority votes to win. So the outcome will determine the outcome of this. The turnout will determine the outcome of this election. So we'll see whether the politicians contesting can generate enough excitement for voters to come out or not. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Adib, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, I think this Johor election, you know, before this we had Malacca election, I think it's a start of a process. We are seeing state politics moving away from federal politics. You know, when state elections are held outside of the usual federal election cycle, we may see state issues being championed more seriously by the politicians. So hopefully this trend continues, you know, as voters get more sophisticated and they have more options at the state level and also at the federal level.
Adib, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Adib Zalkapli, Director of Bauer Group Asia, weighing in on the ongoing news coming out of Johor ahead of the elections. Do send your thoughts our way. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.